Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we're back. The second hour is live, and what an hour the first hour was. So let's get back to the calls here and check out John in Indiana. I don't know why that word was so difficult to spit out.
Hey, Paul, can you do me a favor? I live up by South Bend, and I'm a Notre Dame fan. Notre Dame had a home-and-home a couple years down the road against Alabama and Florida and Arkansas. Now, the Arkansas series got goofed up by COVID a couple years ago.
Right.
And Arkansas really wanted to come up to South Bend and play. Were they signed contracts? Can you find out if those games will be played down the road?
I vaguely remember the Arkansas series being scrapped, and I don't remember why, but I will look into it and get back to you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Kind of something the government would say to you. We'll get right back to you as soon as we investigate that.
As soon as we get down to Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, no, don't say that. Herbie is up next. Good afternoon, Herbie.
Paul, how are you, sir?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I want to circle back to the Calipari situation.
Okay.
At what point did Kentucky become a football school? I'm pretty sure we've got history of basketball. I was telling when I called in, Rich Brooks would probably attest to the fact of no one really pays attention. And if you really want to watch when Kentucky travels for football, look at the crowd. It's not like basketball. So Kentucky's always going to be the football school. Stoops, all Stoops has to do is have one bad year. And obviously they'll talk about getting rid of him. Because in basketball, every time Kentucky does something, they always – it's always the same thing. Wait till next year. Wait till next year. Wait till next year. So Calipari's got a resume that no one can argue about. And for them to act as if we're, you know, the same equal as in football, of course I say we as if I don't play for them, haven't. But we're like Indiana, as your Indiana caller. They're a basketball school with a football program. People in Kentucky view it the same way. Now, again, in September, yeah, it's something.
But Herbie,
to do
let me until offer November one thing because I feel like I'm in the middle of a family squabble. But the argument that Mark Stoops was making though wasn't about who has the fatter fan base. I mean, I've been to a million games at Kentucky. I understand what you're saying. What he said though is that what Calipari said, which was unnecessary since everyone accepts it, makes
callous,
it more difficult for him to recruit. And that's his biggest objection.
I could agree with that. But again, when you look at it, when you, let's just say when you go to Duke, when you enroll at Duke as an athlete, student athlete, where do you think the money and the finances are going to?
Nobody knows Duke has a football team.
They do?
Well, I mean, they've won a few games.
Yeah, so it's being from Kentucky, you grew up on basketball, and Jerry Claiborne, they had some great teams in the 80s, but it was nothing as opposed to what was going down south. You know, it was Alabama's and the Floridas were on the rise. But, yeah, Kentucky,
but Herbie, sometimes, you know, I think the biggest objection, though, is that did Cal really need to say that? I mean, it's,
I totally agree.
Right. This is, thank you for the call. This is an internal battle going on between Calipari and Mitch Barnhart, two people who don't believe to be particularly close friends. I watched it firsthand in Destin with Cal campaigning one day for the same thing that he just talked about the other day, and then having Barnhart the next day reacting to it. And you force the athletic director to side with the football coach, who he has put his name, I mean, he has personally staked. I mean, he supported him when things were tough. Now, did he support Calipari by giving him a lifetime contract? Of course he did, but that wasn't difficult at Kentucky. Thanks for the call. It is quite a debate, though, I'll say that. Let's check out Preacher Man in Alabama. Preacher Man.
Hey, Paul, good to talk to you, brother. How's everything?
We are all doing well. Thank you, Preacher.
Amen.
Good, good. Hey, I just want to make a couple of comments about how I'm excited about the new coaches in the SEC. I'm loving Mike Leach and you know, Mr. Pittman, and it's exciting. Some of these teams that really been pushovers for so long, and now they're taking names and kicking butt, and I'm loving it. And, you know, as far as Kentucky, there's another one, you know, that's always been a kind of a pushover football school, and now they got a good program, and I'm really glad to see that. But
hey, well, thank you very much. Hey, by the way, the caller a minute ago asked about the Arkansas game, and Danny Bramlett in the other room looked that up for us. And Notre Dame will play Arkansas. They'll meet in 25 and 28 in a home-and-home. So that we said we would get back to them, and we did. Faster than the government, though.
Doing it for the people.
Yes, we are here for you. RT in Columbus, GA. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Very well. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. I'm originally from Savannah, Georgia, and let me tell you what, that Georgia-Florida game being in Jacksonville, we really enjoyed that. Then I went numerous years, like every year we'd go.
Okay.
And I hate to see it leave down there, but it's probably going to happen.
I don't think it will happen immediately, but it just seems like what Kirby Smart wants, Kirby Smart is going to get.
Yep. You know, I do, unhappily, I do remember the last time we played Florida at home, and it wasn't very pretty.
Yeah, that was a bad year. But, you know, those things, I've been part of those games. They are exciting to a point, but right now, as you know, everything is about recruiting. And who's to say Billy Napier, now that he has his program off and running, he has his facilities top-notch, who's to say he won't agree?
Yeah, you're probably right. I just hate to see it go, because we look for, even from Columbus, I still go down. I don't go every year, but I go every chance I get. We enjoy that. But, you know, staying at St. Simon's and playing golf and the whole nine yards.
Sure. No. I think RT, if you took the beach out, and I go down there. We stay downtown in Jacksonville, which is like staying downtown in any city. Do the show from the parking lot. I mean, if I went down on Wednesday with Randy and the guys. We stayed at St. Simon's, or maybe you know, on the beach a couple of blocks from Ponte Vedra, went over and played the players. I mean, I might have a different view.
Yeah.
But instead, I stay in some dumpy hotel. Stay in a really nice hotel, a really nice Motel 7. With hot and cold running water and a vending machine at the end of the hall, so we don't have the same opinion of the Georgia-Florida game as you fat cats out there who paid the big down payments for the 5 or 6 days and play golf and staying in the classy places and eating on, you know, high on the we're just plain old folk here at this network. And I've been upgraded since we started talking, Randy. I'm in the Motel 8 now.
Nice.
It's twice as good as the Motel 4, which is inferior to the Motel 6. Let's talk to Johnny up next. Hey, Johnny.
Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I wanted to comment on Georgia-Florida game being moved.
Okay.
Gosh, the last 45 years, I've probably been down there 35 times.
Right.
Some of them I remember, and some of them I don't, you know.
I hear you.
And, you know, it's a great, great atmosphere. I mean, even if you don't like college football, people ought to try it at least one time. But I'm a realist, Paul. I've had season tickets 25 years. And what it's going to come down to, in my opinion, I know what the mayor of Jacksonville is saying, and I know it brings bukus of money into Jacksonville. But to me, it's going to boil down to this. It's Kirby Smart versus the mayor of Jacksonville. Who do you think is going to win?
Well, I mean, that's who should win, because why, you know, with all due respect to Lenny Curry, why would anybody care what he thinks about anything? He's the mayor of Jacksonville, for those of you who don't know.
Right.
By the way, you're going to side with a guy named Lenny over a guy named Kirby?
No way. But, you know, and I think it's not a done deal. I mean, the contract runs out, I think, the end of next year, and I think 2024 we'll do home and home. Now, I will say this. The one time we played in Athens, unfortunately, that's when Spurrier was there, and I took a friend of mine to the game as a high school coach, and we left at halftime. It was so bad. It was awful, but that's not going to happen again. But I do think it's going to get moved. I agree with Kirby wholeheartedly. For recruiting purposes, it needs to be moved. And, you know, the Florida coach, he's just getting down there. The new guy, he spoke on it vaguely, you know, at the SEC media days. And Napier, I think he'll agree, too, when it's all said and done.
And let me ask, thank you very much. And I don't mean to get too deep into Mayor Lenny Curry's business, but I'm going to, since he's the one who's running his trap about this. Question to the audience. Where do you think Mayor Lenny Curry went to college? Do you think he went to the University of Georgia, or do you think he went to the University of Florida? Team, anybody want to take a shot? You, where do you think he went? Where do you think he went? Well, Mayor Lenny Curry of the city of Jacksonville is a graduate of the University of Florida. Case closed. Let's move on right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Yeah, welcome back. Let's continue here, and Eric is up next in Georgia. Hello, Eric.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing? I'm not going to ask you how you're doing, because I know you're doing fantastic, minus all the the threats that you get on a day-to-day basis from callers is mind-boggling to me. But that's neither here or there, my man. So anyways, if you remember correctly, I was I'm formerly Eric from Minnesota, but I just moved down to Athens recently. I don't know if you remember me. I called you up before the national football championship season for the Dogs. I haven't talked to you since, but I did in the process of moving. I finally got down to Athens, which has been fantastic.
Well, that's wonderful.
So yeah, so anyways, I just have a couple things to talk about with you, Paul, if I have a few minutes with you.
Sure.
First thing is, you were talking about the Dogs and how you're trying to figure out pinpoint where their loss might be at. And I actually think it's going to be in a spot where most people will least likely look. And I do think the loss could come as a landmine type game against the Dogs in Starkville, the other Dogs down in Starkville, that Mike Leach passing happy offense with Will Rogers. I think because it's stuck between the Kentucky and before Kentucky, then after Tennessee and Florida, I think that little detour to Starkville is something to keep an eye on, Paul, because I think that could be a landmine type game. I know I'm going to get a lot of heat for that, but I would keep your eye on that game. And number two, the whole Calipari Stoops, little battle that's going on. I won't divulge too much into that, but I do call Calipari and Tom Izzo the same thing. I call them both the ultimate type of salesman with a Ponzi scheme type effort on the basketball court. And what I mean by that is that they will sell you to the very end on the product they put. They get an assortment of riches of talent. But yet, when it comes to being an ultimate salesman and putting that product on the basketball court, Tom Izzo is still riding that championship Mateen Cleaves-led team in 2000. And he just got another five-year extension, which I find mind-boggling. So that's why I call them both the same type of coach. Ultimate salesman, but yet a Ponzi scheme up on the court. So I don't get the love that Calipari gets. I don't get the love that Izzo gets. And to me, they're like the same type of salesman / Ponzi scheme effort. And my third thing is, when you guys come down to Athens this year for SEC Today for the games, I'd like to meet you sometime and just talk to you for a bit. I've always been wanting to meet you for the longest time, my man. So, thank you.
First of all, I really like your analysis. And, we will be. I don't know the date yet for our trip to Athens. It won't be early in the season. I do believe that. But there's plenty of opportunities later on that we will get there. But, what you said about Izzo is really interesting because, everybody loves Tom Izzo. Everybody said, but the basketball intelligentsia, they have a different standard than football writers and commentators. It's a different curve. And and of course, it's been dumbed down, too. It's like getting to the tournament. If you get to the tournament, postseason, football, they try to do that, but it just doesn't work as well because the salaries are so out of control. Not that Izzo and Cal aren't making gobs of money. They are. And Cal has done a really good job of selling. And he's got a really good resume, except when you get bounced out by St. Peter's. And so did other schools. But
right.
There's always an excuse. There's always, hey, this team is going to be fantastic. This is that. And at some point, it wears out the fan base.
Well, so you do agree with me to some extent on my analysis of how I find them to be those two to be the ultimate salesman, but a Ponzi scheme out in the court then.
Well,
kind of deal.
Yeah, I mean, listen, normally if I said somebody, if I called somebody running a Ponzi scheme, I'd get a lot of criticism. I happen to like what you said, though, by the way, because there's a modicum of truth to it. And when you're in the window that he is in, and I think it's precarious because the St. Peter's game was a body blow. You just march down the street. Your AD knows exactly how you feel. And if you're going to campaign, that's fine, but don't campaign at the expense of someone else. And that's exactly what he did. And he's paying the price for it, and he should pay the price for it.
Well, and I agree with that, Paul. And then, like I said before, I know we're on the Cal thing, but like I said, I wasn't getting too much into it. But like I said, and that as a Dogs fan, that Mississippi State game actually worries me more than the Kentucky and Tennessee game. I know that sounds silly to you,
but it just does. Eric, I've seen a lot of really good teams go to Starkville and lose. It's a tricky place, and there are more than a few people I know and respect that think Mike Leach is about to turn it around. I hope they're right. Hey, thank you very much, and I look forward to seeing you this fall Laura is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Paul.
Hi there.
I was just wondering what you thought our chances were at Tennessee making the playoffs this year. I've met Josh Heupel. He's a great guy. He's a great coach. But what do you think about their team this year?
Well, I'll try to give you a nuanced answer here because you asked me about the playoffs. I think they're really good, and I think they are going to have a good season. But let me redirect to our friend from the UT student paper about an hour ago. He felt like they were in the 8-4-9-3 range. I agree with him. I think the playoffs are not really under consideration for this season.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I'm a Tennessee fan from Kentucky, and I get a lot of flack from it because I'm supposed to like EK, and I don't. But I'm a big Tennessee fan, and I know you are, and I know we're in a little bit of trouble right now, but from past. But I just wanted to know, you know, if you think we have a good enough team to make playoff games.
Now, Laura, let me say this: could I argue a scenario that would put Tennessee in the CFP? Yeah, it's there are some schools it's impossible to do that. Tennessee, it's a very narrow argument, but with Alabama at home, it could happen. It hasn't happened in some young people's lifetime, but it could happen. It would be very tricky but the key game would be Georgia, because to become eligible for the CFP, you have to rack up those big wins, because somewhere along the line, it's hard to believe Tennessee isn't going to lose a game. We will take a break. We are going to continue our college tour in just a moment. We head west.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And back to school continues as we head to Aggieland. Kay Nagley joining us. And it's always great to head out to the west, western part of the SEC. Kay, thank you for being here. Good afternoon. And how are things out there?
Great. We're very excited for football in Aggieland, and I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Listen, number 6 in the AP poll. A lot of people don't know what to make out of this year's edition. How did that number play on campus? About right or too low?
Obviously, I think it fared very well here. We are very high on the Aggies, just coming off of that recruiting class, and you know, just seeing the freshmen down here kind of just get adapted to Jimbo and College Station and everything that it has to offer. I know they're loving it, for one. I mean, here in Aggieland, we love the number 6. I think being the third SEC team, that's right where we kind of want to be. So we are definitely excited. And yeah, number 6 is, I think, a perfect area for where they want to be.
Kay, I know you've been going to practices, and tell us what is going on at the all important, sounds like a cliche, but it's true, quarterback position.
Yes, quarterback position here has obviously been a big question mark surrounding just national media in general, and then also just here. I mean, Jimbo reemphasized it last week that, you know, there is no clear front runner still, and we are you know, the clock is kind of ticking. But, I mean, you look at all three guys, and you get a lot of different things when you do look at them. Haynes, we really haven't seen his full potential. Everyone talks about his speed and athleticism. But Max, we are kind of surprised to see him and his athleticism as well. A lot of Aggies didn't realize that. And then Connor is just another one of those guys, one of those five stars out of high school that, you know, has just come into this program and really wowed everyone here in College Station. So they all bring a lot to the table, and we're very, whoever QB1 is, I think he will fit right in and do a great job in 2022.
Okay, this is not a critical situation where there's a epic first game. So when are we going to learn, and really does it even matter considering that the bigger games come later?
Yeah, I think a decision will be made here shortly, and we're not sure timeline exactly, but the first two games are Sam Houston State and Appalachian State, and then you have Miami as the third game. So I think those first two games, a lot of, depending who is named QB1, I do think QB2 and maybe even QB3 will be getting reps to start those two games. I think Miami game is when you're really going to see that QB1 kind of have his breakout game, and you will, you know, want to rely on him. And I think a lot of Aggies will be behind that one guy.
Kay, it's been 3 months since the epic meltdown or showdown, I should say, between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. We've heard all the statements since then, and you almost would have thought that these two snuck in a late summer vacation together, how much respect and admiration they have for each other. How is all that playing among your friends and the fans of the Aggies in College Station and around the country?
Yeah, it was definitely, it kept us here pretty busy here. It was definitely a crazy thing to watch play out. I've really never seen anything like that. You know, kept us busy, but I think a lot of us, they've all put it behind them now, as they say. I think a lot of us are still really excited for October 8th, and it's going to be a really fun fall.
Let me ask you about that week, because we saw what happened last year. I'm sure in your very young lifetime, you've probably never seen anything quite like that night mm-hmm. in College Station. Your colleagues in Tuscaloosa are counting down to October 8th. I know that you don't want to skip the season, because there's some really important games. You mentioned Miami, Arkansas is in there, and we saw what happened to the Aggies last year before that game. But how big is that game going to be, even being in Tuscaloosa?
Absolutely, and they have an away stretch right before that game, so it's really going to be kind of a hard little stretch for them, I would say. I think going there in Tuscaloosa, obviously there's a lot of hype with everything that happened between Jimbo and them, and then just a lot of hype from A&M beating them last year here. And I know that was big chaos in College Station. It was a lot of fun, but I think they're kind of ready to put that season behind them. It's a whole new season, a whole new era, and just a whole new day. And I think October 8th, yeah, we're a lot of SEC fans are excited, a lot of college football fans are excited, and I know a bunch of people in Aggieland and at Alabama are ready.
Kay Negley with us with Tex Aggs. You did work at the Battalion, the school newspaper. You still got a little time, I'm sure, left in College Station. No college student wants an experience like yours or some of your friends to end. So tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into this field, and ultimately what you hope to do with it.
Yeah, so I got started at the Battalion. Just started as sports writer, kind of worked my way up. I was eventually co-sports editor and then head sports editor as well. I've got to cover men's basketball and NIT, got to go to New York, that was very fun, and then the College World Series as well. It's been a crazy experience, and then I kind of got immersed in a lot more Tex Aggs thing. I was doing an internship for them, and then now I'm fully here now. So I kind of just, I'm only a junior, or I'm about to be a junior, so I still have a lot of experience and things ahead of me, and I'm really excited. Ultimately, I would say your girl, Laura Rutledge, one of my idols. I would aspire to do something like her one day, and that would probably be my ultimate goal.
Well, I'm blushing now because you've chosen well. And I'm not surprised, because I run into young people, and you know, she is the quintessential role model. When you're trying to think about the future, and I know it's not easy, but other than what you've seen before, is there a way to land on the right position. I know no young person knows for sure, but you sound like you have it pretty well buttoned down.
Yeah, I've done a lot of things in my time here or at the bat, and then also here at Texas. I have a lot of different roles, and I'm doing a lot of different things, which I'm very appreciative because I kind of get to learn how to do everything. And I think that's a skill that I've just heard is needed nowadays. It is kind of hard to, you know, pinpoint one thing, but I would just say just growing up watching all these different, and Laura being one of them, women on my football screen every morning or at College Game Day or SC Network, like things like that, that definitely had a, that took a toll and definitely inspired me to kind of lead in that direction. So,
well, I think you've chosen well, and her story is becoming very well known, especially around young students like yourself, and I think that you've chosen very wisely. Okay, before you go, let's we're asking all of our student entrants here to give us their best guess on what you think the Aggies are going to do this year.
Ultimately, it is hard to tell. I know a lot of people are very high on the Aggies in 2023 just to get this recruiting class in here for a year and very immersed in that. I would ultimately say I'm going to say 10-2 and then hopefully get to a New Year's Six Bowl. I think that's a good goal for the Aggies in 2022 and to be able to build on that and have a spectacular season in 2023.
Well done. You certainly aced this exam here, Kay. Thank you very much.
Thank
it's
you.
Great to meet you
Thank
again.
You. We'll see Thank you.
We hope to see you soon. It's so cool to talk to the young students, and that was the second one. We'll talk to one more today. We'll do it all week and obviously throughout the season. We're coming back with much, much more.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And hey, welcome back. Ron is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Ron, good afternoon to you.
How you doing? I wanted to talk to you about the deal with Calipari and Stoops. And
yes.
I know that's about everything that anybody in Kentucky is talking about right now, but I think it's kind of misplaced publicity simply because I think in the last 10 years that we actually have not become so much a basketball school or a football school, but more of an athletic school. I mean, I watch and I think it's a lot due to the SEC network, but I watch track, I watch baseball, I watch softball. And I would consider myself more of a UK fan, where back in the 60s, I was a UK basketball fan. Didn't really think about football a lot. And then it kind of changed, and football became important, and then a great athletic director has made everything more important. And my question for you is, we were to have to replace a coach, I kind of think that a basketball coach is easier for us to replace than a football coach. What's your thoughts on that?
Ron, I could not agree more. I think it would be very difficult to replace Mark Stoops. When you consider the four or five coaches that preceded him, I think it would be the easiest thing in the world to replace Calipari. And you know, you can take that as a shot at Calipari. It's not intended to be. But that's a coveted job. The people that would at least be on the short list are epic. Whether you go to Scott Drew, whether you talk to Billy Donovan. I realize they both have great jobs. Whether you identify a young up-and-comer, although I think that's dangerous at Kentucky. You know, you have to know what you're doing at UK. I don't think Mitch Barnhart would need more than 20 minutes to find a new coach. And John Calipari gave him a reason to at least think about it the other day. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Bowen is in Opelika. Good afternoon.
Yeah, I want to talk about Napier and the Gators this year. I don't think Napier has a chance because he'll lose to Utah at Gainesville, then he'll lose to Kentucky, and then he'll be 0-2. And everybody will fall out. Dan Mullen was our coach, and he won. He got his recruiting year sabotaged the year before he left. And then his players couldn't play and laid down on him. And there's just good times, and Napier was hired just like Doug Dickey was back from Tennessee back then.
Thank you for the call. Jake is up next in Nashville. Hey, Jake.
Hi, Paul. Was just wondering about your thoughts on Tennessee's chances going to the Sugar Bowl. I was looking yesterday, just got my tickets. We were wondering if you wanted to come down to New Orleans and celebrate a Vols Sugar Bowl win with us.
By all means. I wouldn't. It's a great city, and I would love to see that. I think it's possible. Probably not a betting favorite in Vegas right now, but I think the fact that there's so much optimism is gratifying, considering that where this program has been for so long. Thank you for the call. Do appreciate it. Let's check out Pat in Georgia. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Hey, I want to talk about Kentucky basketball. I don't want to talk about Jacksonville anymore, okay?
Great.
An editor's note, you asked me last week, last time Georgia lost to Florida, and I had a senior moment, November the 9th, 2020, Florida beat Georgia in Jacksonville, and it was 40-something to 20-something. But anyway, I'm sorry I couldn't remember it. What is in this for Calipari? What axe does Calipari have to grind by saying what he said and picking a fight with his AD and his football coach?
Well, it's really with his AD, and you know, according to people that are much closer to it than I am, which I'm not very close at all. I think there's been tension there for a long time. When you deal with a larger than life personality like John Calipari, you give him a space, just like at Alabama, just like at Texas A&M, just like anywhere where you have somebody like that, you don't try to take away his oxygen. And I think Barnhart has done that, and Cal has crossed the line once or twice, probably internally. And I think he's out there at a time when the University of Kentucky should be celebrating. They're in the Bahamas. They're on TV every day. They're getting a jump on everybody else, for the most part, by getting the TV exposure. He steps in it, and he goes too far. And it was gratuitous what he said about Mark Stoops. Oh yeah, we're big football fans. They win 10 games. I mean, nobody really bought that. And I say that because I think Calipari has tried to say the right things about football over the years, but this time he went too far. And by saying we're a basketball school, he insulted the football program at a time when football is near at an all-time high at Kentucky, and the SEC football is at an all-time high.
Well, why doesn't Barnhart want to give Calipari the oxygen that he needs?
No, he does. That's why he stays away from him. Except for this reason, I really don't know what's behind this facility that Cal is campaigning for. I think Cal has a couple of complaints. First of all, Rupp Arena is very old. It's almost 50 years old, and I know they've redone it and put a lot of money into it, but it's still very old. He's been campaigning for practice facilities, and that's strange when you know, for guys like us who grew up where everything about the University of Kentucky was better than anyone else. But those things are changing now, and Cal does not have a stranglehold on recruiting like he used to. It's still very powerful, but he has – within the SEC alone – let me ask you this question, Pat. I think you follow basketball.
I do.
Do you think Kentucky fans feel more secure with Calipari than Arkansas fans feel with Musselman, or Alabama fans feel with Nate Oates, or Auburn fans feel with Bruce Pearl?
Well, I could speak to Auburn fans and Bruce Pearl better than I could the other two programs that you mentioned, but I think I understand your question. Kentucky fans ought to feel just fine with with their coach.
Here's the dirty little secret, Pat. They don't. And they don't because many are now openly questioning and wondering about Cal's coaching ability. There's no debate about his recruiting ability. But there are some questions about whether he is the elite coach that he used to be. Thank you very much for the call. We really appreciate it. Doodle is in Kentucky. Hello, Doodle.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great.
Well, I am a Tennessee Volunteer fan through and through. Have been since the 90s. But this is ridiculous. Kentucky is definitely a basketball school. Because half of my friends all have been Kentucky basketball. Then they run around with Florida State shirts on. At Roll Tide, all you see on the timeline for Facebook and everything else is Roll Tide, Roll Tide. And it's just ridiculous. And
yeah, but dude, question, let me Paul, ask you a question. Sometimes something can be right and accurate, but you're better off not saying it. So...
I mean,
has anyone ever been asked by their spouse, hey, do you think it looks like I've gained weight? And the answer is no, of course not.
How many of you have ever said,
yeah, it looks like you put on 15 pounds since Christmas? I mean, who in their right mind would say something like that, whether it was true or not, except in Kentucky's case, everyone knows what you just got through saying, but if you're Mark Stoops, you're going to take it personally. And if you don't respond, it looks like you're just rolling over like every other Kentucky football coach.
I agree with that. But also, let me ask you one question, Paul.
Sure.
Like you said, basketball has changed. Recruiting has changed. You got these grad transfers and everything else. So who could Kentucky get that would make as much noise and bring these recruits in than Cal? I mean, that's what I tell people all the time. They say they want to get rid of Cal. Well, who are you going to get? Cal?
Well, it's a good question. I'm not sure there is a better recruiter than Cal. I'll grant him that. Is there a better coach than Cal,
yeah,
though?
Yeah, there's one that just retired that is. But
well, I'm not talking about him.
A lot of these kids come here for Cal. They don't come for UK. They come for Cal because he gets them in the league, period.
Well, I totally agree with you, but there's a lot of anxiety there. We'll take a break.